Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out tonight. We're going to begin on page 19. We will begin on page 19 tonight. And we'll make some preliminary remarks, and then we will go ahead and begin. Before we start tonight's study, let's pray. Our Father, what a privilege it is to gather together this evening. We want to pray that you would bless our time. Thank you for the people who've taken time out of their lives to be here. We pray, Lord, that you would just take special notice of those that love truth and love Israel, and that you would bless them as you have said you will in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I begin tonight by just kind of recapping some things. The reason why Israel is not in that land enjoying all of the blessings of the land and all of the promises that God made to Israel concerning the land, the reason why she's not there ever since the first century is because her religious leadership has led her away from Jesus Christ. Jewish people need to understand that. I know we have some Jewish people that are listening to this particular series on the history and importance of Israel. You need to understand that. Your religious leaders have led the nation away from Jesus Christ, which has caused all of the problems that you are experiencing to this very hour. Now, in the aftermath of Christ ascending into heaven, the primary skirmishes were taking place between the Jews and the Romans. And then, of course, in AD 636, it was the Muslim Arabs who had become the primary enemy of Israel ever since that time period. They controlled Israel from AD 636 to 1099. Then finally, Christians got fed up with that. They said, we're going to go take that land away from those Muslim Arabs. And that began Christian crusades that were from AD 1099 to 1291. But then the Muslims didn't take kindly to that. So the Egyptian Muslims, they took the land back in 1291 and they controlled it till about AD 1516. Then the Turkish Muslims, they decided they would take charge of the land from 1517 to 1917. And as a result of that, the Arabs have basically dominated that land, and we'll certainly see how it develops as we continue on in the study. Now, you cannot deny the fact that our economy in the United States of America is being blessed right now as never before in history. And I don't believe that's a coincidence, because as you'll see later in the study, we have a president who is pro-Israel more than any president in history. This will be a provable, observable fact that we're talking about here. This is not political rhetoric. This is an observable, historical fact. We have a president right now who is more pro-Israel than any president in the history of this country. And that is why God is blessing, I am convinced, the economy of the United States. God has promised that I will bless those that bless her, curse those that curse her. And we know from Isaiah and some other passages that one of the areas he specifically mentions are economies, that he controls economies of nations. And certainly we are seeing right now a tremendous blessing that's on the economy of the United States. I think it's directly connected to a president that's pro-Israel. Now, you take that away, you put Muslim Arabs in charge of this country, and that economy is going to go down. I heard a Jewish economist say, if the wrong people get in power, you watch what happens to your 401ks, and you watch what happens, because he said there's going to be people moving very quickly to get their money out of where it is presently. So there's a lot on the line here as it relates to Israel. Now, in the 48th critical event that did affect Israel was this World War I that began in July of 1914. World War I began. It ended in October 30th, 1918. It was a global war. It was fought in Europe, and it ultimately came down to defeating Germany and her allies. And during that war, a total of about 1.5 million Jews fought. Now remember, as we've been going through the history of Israel, the Jewish people were chased out of the land. So as a result of being chased out of the land, they merged into all kinds of nations. They merged into European nations. So when you have a major international war that's breaking out, it has a tremendous effect on the Jews. It has a tremendous effect on Israel. Because many of the Jews were in the very places of political conflict. So if you're a Jewish person and you're living in a place of conflict, you're going to probably have to join an army. And it's almost like a civil war deal because you are at times being forced to join opposing armies. Some of the Jews were very successful, which put them in a position to be able to politically influence other powers. In fact, Hermann Cohen, a Jewish philosopher, went to the United States to try to convince the Americans to enter the war on the German side. Of course, the United States ended up declaring war against Germany, and the U.S. had 250,000 Jewish soldiers fighting for them. Now, World War I did five things for Israel, and this is not in your notes, so if you want these five things, you're going to have to write them down. I know that'll be a real stretch for some of you, but I have full confidence you could do this if you want to. World War I ended up doing five things for Israel. Now, World War II, we're going to get to that. That becomes critical in the animosity of Israel. But first of all, Jewish people in the mind of the world were connected to that land of Palestine after World War I. Shortly after World War I, Jewish people were connected to that land in Palestine. That starts it, and ultimately it will culminate a few years later. Number two, the Balfour Declaration, and we're going to look at that in just a moment, a Balfour Declaration, paved the way. It was a document that paved the way for Israel to occupy Palestine. Remember, she had been out of this land scattered all over the world ever since the days of Bar Kokhba. But now, after World War I, this is critical because this starts setting the stage for her to be able to go back to that land. Thirdly, the United States supported the formation of a Jewish national home in 1922, in the aftermath of World War I. The United States began to support the idea that there ought to be a Jewish national homeland where they could exist. And that was under the presidency, by the way, of Warren Harding. And he was the president who was actually involved in that. Fourthly, Israel's homeland began to be recognized. Because now you have nations in the aftermath of World War I starting to recognize, you know, maybe that land would be a place where the Jews could live. Maybe it is their homeland. And fifthly, the population of Jews started to increase a little bit after World War I in the land of Israel. So you have those five accomplishments that occurred in the aftermath of World War I. When the war ended, the Jews were targeted by the Germans as being traitors, because Germany lost. Now you can begin to see what's going to happen here, can't you? Germany now is starting to blame the fact that they lost the war to the Allies and the Russians in World War I. They're beginning to start to blame the Jews as the reason they lost the war. And as a result, 100,000 were killed. Many refugees fled to other places in Europe. When the war ended in 1918, 9 million military personnel were dead. 7 million civilians were dead. The Ottoman Empire completely lost its power. A lot of Jews had been killed. And also at this point, one other fact, many Jews assimilated here into the United States. And that was the result of World War I. Now, event number 49 is the Ottoman Empire is defeated by the British Empire and Britain takes over Israel. This is a critical historical event for the nation Israel. Britain takes over Israel. After 400 years of empire dominance of the Turkish Ottoman Empire, the British conquered Palestine. And the Ottoman Empire officially ended on November 1, 1922, completely abolished on March 3, 1924. Now listen to this, because this has relevancy to the day and age in which you and I live. From the years 1915 to 1922, the Turkish Ottoman Empire murdered 1.5 million Armenians. Now the term Armenian refers to Mideast people. Many of them have Jewish connections and Jewish blood. But the Armenian people were not European people. And the Ottoman Empire, the Muslims, killed 1.5 million Jewish people, which sets the stage for this Balfour Declaration, which we'll talk about in just a second. Now, the reason why this is relevant is because you've got that Muslim congressman from Minnesota whose name is Omar. And in this past October 2019, she made the statement, "This never happened." What a liar these Muslims are. She made the statement, "This never happened." That this business of the Ottoman Empire, the Muslims killing those Armenians, never happened. She's a liar. It did happen. It's a fact of history. It's a critical fact of history. And after 400 years of the dominance, British conquered Palestine and they took Jerusalem at the end of World War I in 1917. And the foreign minister of Britain, whose name was Arthur James Balfour, he pledged support for the establishment of a Jewish national home in Palestine. And he made what was called the Balfour Declaration. And the Balfour Declaration insisted that nothing negative was to be done to the civil and religious rights of Jews and non-Jewish communities. Balfour believed that this declaration would cause the world to look more favorably on Israel and more favorably to the Jews. And this Balfour Declaration was supported by President Harding in 1922. He got behind this Balfour Declaration. So now what's happening is the world now, through these wars, is beginning to change their perspective a little bit of Israel. Because now they're starting to begin to sense and see that Israel is under attack and ultimately she needs to be in her land. Which brings us to the 50th event, the British rule Israel and Israel's land from 1918 to 1948. Now this is the key moment of Israel's history. Because now you have Jews migrating back to the land. You've got a Balfour Declaration. And now you have Great Britain that is in control of this land, and Great Britain has opened the door because they're the one that made the declaration that Israel could be back in the land. They were to be treated respectfully in the land. And so many Jews migrate from Europe and Russia. The Jews Defense Organization is founded. The first Jewish village is set up in 1921. One-fourth of the land of Palestine is mandated to become the Jewish national home in 1922. Another migration of Jews comes back to the land from Poland from 1924 to 1932, and the Hebrew University is opened in 1925. And another migration of Jews returns from Germany in 1933 to 1939. And that brings us now to event number 51, and that is World War II begins in Europe. World War II takes place from 1939 to 1945. And the British government had put limits on migrating Jews to 10,000 except for an emergency. And many Jews saw what Hitler was starting to do. And they tried to escape Germany and move to the United States. And a lot of Jews, frankly, were turned down. And the same was true concerning Great Britain. And this all came at a time when Hitler was in power. Many Jews wanted to get away from him and get out of Germany and wanted to escape him. And during this war, 6 million Jews were killed by Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany in what is called the Holocaust. Now, the word Holocaust means mass slaughter. And that's exactly what Hitler did. He had a mass slaughter of Jews. Now, one of the questions that I think we have to ask ourselves is, why would this happen? I mean, what could possibly be going on in the program of God to cause this to happen? And before I address that for a few minutes, I want to point out something, that during the Holocaust, 6 million Jews were killed by Adolf Hitler. That was one-third of the Jewish population. Now go to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. And in verse 8, we read, "It will come about in all the land, declares the Lord, that two parts in it will be cut off and perish, but the third will be left in it. And I will bring the third part through the fire." All right. In World War II, during the Holocaust, you have one-third of the Jews killed. When this takes place in the tribulation, two-thirds of the Jews are going to be killed. And they have been led astray from Jesus Christ by their religious political leaders. That's why this is all going to happen. I mean, if those religious leaders right now were start promoting We as a nation need to turn to Jesus Christ and cry out to Him. He's our King, and we need to apologize to God for what we did to Him. And we need to ask Him as a nation to come back. They would see this whole thing turn around, but they're not about to do that. It'll take the tribulation to finally back her into a corner where she ultimately will do that. Now the question arises, why would this even happen? Why would this happen in World War II, and why would this happen in the tribulation? I want to give you six reasons that we would like to address from a biblical perspective for a moment here. And again, this isn't in your notes, so if you want, I'm going to have to pen them. The first reason is Satan's goal is to replace God. Satan's goal is to replace God. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And notice, if you would, verse 12. Isaiah 14, 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who weaken the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That is Satan's goal, replace God. Which includes, I want to replace his program. Which brings us to the second point. Satan wants to stop God's program. That's what he wants to do. I'd like you to go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. We read in verse 31, Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor, each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon, and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever. Satan wants to stop that program with Israel because he knows that is the program with Israel. He understands that. He understands that God has promised that there's going to be a program in which Israel is going to be blessed of God, be in a kingdom, which is a millennial, wonderful existence for her, and he's trying to stop it, which is why he would want to try to kill Jews during the Holocaust and why he wants to kill two-thirds of them during the tribulation period. He wants to put a stop to this program of God. Thirdly, Satan hates Israel. Satan hates Israel. He wants to eliminate Israel. Do not ever forget this point. These Arabs are just not politically confused. They're satanic. They're demonic. They have a hatred for Israel. And whenever you see a hatred for Israel that wants to eliminate Israel, talks about eliminating her, exterminating her, you're looking into the face of Satan, which is exactly what Satan wants to do. Now let's go to Psalm 83. Psalm 83, verse 1. O God, do not remain quiet, do not be silent, and O God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people, and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, Come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they have conspired together with one mind against you. They make a covenant. Satan wants to eliminate Israel because he hates Israel. And you can write another reference down, although I won't take you there tonight. Revelation 12, 13 to 17 says the same thing. Revelation 12, 13 to 17. Satan, when he gets an opportunity during the tribulation, that's exactly what he's going to try to do, exterminate every single Jew. He hates the nation Israel, which is why you see a Holocaust, and it's why you're going to see two-thirds of the Jews, of course we won't be here to see it, but we'll certainly know it's taking place. Two-thirds of the Jews are going to be exterminated because he hates Israel. And these nations and these religions and these people that hate Israel, you're looking at Satan stuff. Just get that in your mind. Fourthly, Satan wants to prevent Christ from returning. That's another reason he wants to get rid of Israel. He wants to prevent Christ from returning. Now, go to Matthew 23:39. Matthew 23:39. In Matthew 23:39, we read, "I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Now, Satan understands that Christ has promised he's going to come back, and this whole nation is going to welcome him back. He does not want Israel around. So his whole goal is, I need to wipe out the nation. I need to wipe out the nation so that Christ has nothing to come back to. There are no people for him to come reign over. That is the plan. That's Satan's plan. And so Satan, he has a goal to replace God. He wants to stop the program of God. He hates Israel. He wants to exterminate and annihilate Israel. And he wants to prevent Christ from returning, as if he thinks he can. But that's how arrogant he is. He actually thinks he can stop him. But I want to give two more reasons from God's perspective. Fifthly, God is punishing Israel for what she did to his son. God is punishing Israel for what she did to his son. I want you to go to Luke 23:28-31. Luke 23:28-31. Now this is when Christ has been totally rejected by the nation. He's being led away to be crucified. And in verse 28 we read, "But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me.'" Daughters of Jerusalem, you Israelis, stop weeping for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. "For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For they do these things when the tree is green. What will happen when it is dry?" Jesus says, because you've rejected me, don't be weeping for me going to the cross. You need to weep for yourselves what's going to happen to you and your children. Because you have rejected me, God is going to allow you to go through horrible things, because of what you've done to me. So you don't need to be crying for me. I'm going to send back up to my Father. You need to weep for yourselves and for your children, for your nation, because of what's going to happen to her. So this Holocaust that happened from 1939 to 1945, when Hitler killed 6 million Jews, and you have the tribulation, which will kill two-thirds of the living Jews at that time, is in part due to the fact because they butchered her king and her son, and those religious leaders of Israel have led that nation astray from understanding this truth and admitting this truth. And that is a real problem, where these Jewish leaders, they're going to be held highly accountable for what they've done. Now, a sixth reason why God will permit this to happen is because this ultimately will get Israel to cry out to him. This is what he will use that will cause Israel to cry out to him. I want you to, again, you can write down Matthew 23:39. We already looked at it, but Christ basically says in that text, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You're not going to see me again until this nation cries out, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" When the tribulation first starts out, God is going to be pouring out his wrath on a God-mocking, Christ-rejecting world. About halfway through the tribulation, this thing turns straight at Israel. And you are going to have 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They are mentioned in Revelation 7, Revelation 14. And you're also going to have two prophets in the city of Jerusalem, there by God, Revelation 11. And those people will be communicating the fact that you need to cry out to your Messiah, Jesus Christ, who's the God, Savior, Messiah, King, to come back and save you. And that nation has been so led down a wrong trail that it's going to take the wrath of the tribulation to back Israel into a corner where finally she's going to do that. So God will actually use the tribulation and the horrors of what's going on with that nation to finally get that nation to cry out to God. Now, we can relate to that in a small sense, because when God's people get in trouble or something really bad hits them, whether it be medically or otherwise, I mean, sometimes that's what becomes impetus for them to turn to the Lord, get back to God. I've known of several stories where people's lives were falling apart, and that's what drove them to get back to God. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen to Israel nationally, on a national scale. It will cause the entire nation to turn back to Him. So, World War II began in Europe. It lasted from 1939 to 1945. Now, the 52nd event is World War II comes to an end. World War II comes to an end in 1945. And clearly one thing World War II did do for Israel, which turned out to be a blessing for Israel, so you even see the sovereignty of God in World War II, is it caused other nations like Britain and the United States to realize the Jews need a safe homeland. The Jews need a place where they can live, where they don't have to flee to other countries again. They need a place that's their own. And in the aftermath of World War II, that is one of the positive things that came out of the war. And just 3 years after the end of the war, in World War II, which ended 1945, Israel is going to have her land. Now, the 53rd event is the United Nations proposed an establishment of Arab and Jewish states in the Promised Land in 1947. Now, we're moving toward more Jews beginning to be able to go back to this part of the land. Now remember, they've been out of the land since Bar Kokhba in the 2nd century A.D. They've been out of that land. But what we're seeing now are events like World War I and World War II that are actually being used to put those Jews back into the land. And several Arab countries don't like this. Of course, the Arabs are their thorn in the flesh, and they want to just destroy Israel. And they don't like the fact that you've got other world powers like the United States and Great Britain saying that Israel needs their own land, so the Arabs are going to need to share that land. And so what ultimately happens because of that is there are these military clashes, these wars that break out between the Arabs and the Israelis, because the Arabs did not want the Jews living in their promised land, and they still don't want them. They still don't want them living in the land tonight. I mean, they would just as soon exterminate the Jew and blow them to bits. They don't want them in that land. They're a satanic group. Which brings us to the 54th event, and that is the British end their control of Israel, and they declare Israel to be an independent nation, and they give her a split portion of the land on May 14, 1948. This is monumental. May 14, 1948. Ever since AD 70, when the Jews had migrated to Europe and North Africa and Egypt and Cyprus and the islands, they had been out of the land. Then when the Bar Kokhba revolt occurred, they were completely chased out of the land. But when this happened, 1948, when now this is the first time that internationally, they say, this is Israel's land. This was a major, major movement. And when this happened, the Jews considered this to be a tremendous answer to prayer. And when this happened, many Christians, especially theologians that knew the Word of God, they looked at this event and said, boy, we're heading now towards something that has prophetic ramifications, because she's been out of that land since AD 70, and certainly since AD 135. She's been out of that land all that time, and now she's been given this land back, and she's able to go back to the land. Well, our time is gone, so we'll have to pick it up here next time as we continue on in our study. We're moving forward, though. We got to 54 events, but I think this is important to study these things. Thanks for coming. Drive careful. Good night. The Lord bless you.